Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
It's a Heart and Home show. I want to thank you all for being here. I hope that you've been having a good time in life and that it's been lovely in general and relaxed for you. We're going to have a lovely conversation today with Terry O'Hara. She's a professional animal communicator. She has contributed to a lovely book entitled Your Dog's Golden Years, where she talks about being an animal communicator, but also about tips and tricks for the care of your senior dog, as do all the other contributing authors. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But Terry has been a professional animal communicator since 1995. She's helped thousands of people nationally and internationally in understanding what their animals are thinking and feeling. She works with dogs, cats, horses, and other domestic animals. In addition to intuitive consultations, Terry offers classes, educational presentations, public events, retreats, and an apprenticeship program. Let's welcome Terry to the show. Terry, thank you for being here again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
My great pleasure. I'll never forget my first meeting with you, which was over the telephone, where we were at our wit's end with our puppy, and we didn't know what it was going to be like to talk with an animal communicator, what to expect, but we also didn't know what else to do with our puppy. And we didn't know at the time she was a puppy. And you made a difference in our lives and Spike's life in less than a half hour without ever seeing my dog, and it transformed all of our lives and made a believer out of us, not that we were not believers, but we were hooked. Is that a common thing to happen with your clients?
That is extremely common. Many people will start the consult with, I have no clue how this works, I'm not sure what I think of it, but I'll do anything for my dog, so let's go. And after a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, they can tell I'm connecting with their dog and I'm not making things up, and that's all it takes. And then the rest is heart-to-heart connecting.
And even though Spike was new to us and she was a Denver Dumb Friendly rescue puppy, everything you told us about her was, like, so spot on. You told us the first thing out of your mouth was she hates her name, and we went, okay. And you said she wants to be called Spike. Spike has 5-inch legs. She, were, at the time, weighed 10 pounds. And we're going, ha, ha, Xena? Maybe she's a girl. No, Spike. Changing her name alone transformed her overnight into somebody that we didn't recognize and yet has turned her into such a powerful, unbelievable, present being. How do you do that? And I know I'm getting a little ahead of the game, but how do you talk to animals to get that kind of information from them?
Well, first, I just want to make a comment because what you're saying is very powerfully true for so many animals. They come onto the planet for a purpose, many of them, and they have a destiny, and they have what they're headed to go do, and they have a purpose, and they've got not an agenda like we do, but, you know, I remember Spike because I remember it was like, out of my way with this silly name they're giving me. It doesn't work. I'm Spike. It's got to be known. I don't care how little I am. And her purpose started coming through. So the way I receive information from the animals is I connect with them from my heart to the heart of the human to the animal. And the humans that go with the animal serve as sort of a conduit for me, because when you're in your heart and you're thinking about the love for your animals, then you are much more open to going beyond the mind, beyond the head, beyond the thought process that we're taught in this culture. So I connect from heart to heart, so to speak, to find the animals. And they will send the information back in a variety of ways, such as pictures. They send a lot of images, a lot of pictures, how they see the world, kind of like a little photo or a little digital video. They will also send physical sensations. If they're nauseous, I might feel nauseous for a moment, so I might physically feel something they're feeling. They also talk in emotions, so if they're really excited and happy about something, suddenly I feel the excitement and happiness. And it can be a subject of something that happened 3 years ago, but they're talking about how happy they were when they first went swimming or whatever, and the happiness and joy will come through as they're remembering it and communicating. They also talk in symbolism, sometimes metaphorically, and finally words. But I always save words for last when I'm explaining to new clients, because I want them to know they don't sit down and all of a sudden start sentence after sentence after sentence like we do. So, for example, if I were to ask Spike, how does she like her food? I might suddenly see the image of an empty food bowl, get the physical sensation of a yummy full belly, and then happiness and joy and contentment come through me. And that all happens in a moment. And I will say to the human, she's telling me she loves her food. She's quite happy with it. So I'm the one that turns it into the sentences and the words that go with what the animal is emanating.
Terry, how did you come to be an animal communicator?
Well, when I was a child, I think, as many children do, it's normal when we get to say, Fluffy says such and such, or I can feel that the kitty is sad. I believe in our culture, we shut down our intuitive self by the kind of schooling that we go through. We have to sit in uncomfortable chairs, and we have to learn A plus B equals C, and, you know, everything's linear, and everything's of the head in our culture, not in all cultures. There are other cultures where they do honor going within and being in your heart and meditating and getting grounded and finding the balance between using our human mind but also our spiritual being. So for children, they're much more in their spiritual being until they kind of get ruined, so to speak, by all the head stuff that they're taught. And so as a child, I felt it was normal and natural. I would just tell my family what the animals were saying, and they called it a bit of a creative imagination. And then eventually so many things happened that they couldn't explain otherwise, such as my kitty, if he was missing, he used to wander the neighborhood sometimes, and I would say, no, he tells me he'll be back on Thursday afternoon at the back door around 2, and they would smile and say, that's nice, honey, and then Thursday would roll around, and he'd be sitting outside the back door at 2. And as a kid, I never stopped to say, how did I get that information? It just, I spoke whatever came through me. I think we're all intuitive, and we just don't know how to listen to it and then speak it, but everybody can do it.
So if everybody can do it, how do they learn how to interpret the messages? I know that you have an apprenticeship program that you teach classes, but how do you really teach something that's so intuitive?
The most important thing that I teach is to help people get out of their heads. I call it stepping down out of your head and into your heart, out of your head and into your heart. I say it over and over during classes because they have to get their busy-headed self out of the way to listen. Now, that's no different than any form of meditation, anything people are doing for self-care that requires quieting the mind, which has become very popular in our culture now, fortunately. Quieting the mind allows us to go into the heart space. When we're in the heart space, the animals can access us. And then the animals become the teachers from that point. I can teach the people how to quiet, how to listen, what's coming through, and then I'll validate what I get if they're practicing with an animal. But the animals are equally my teachers with me, my co-teachers, to help the people feel the answer, see the answer. And they may not trust it, like my apprentices, for example, they don't trust what they're getting for many, many, many months. They still negate it and they doubt it, and it takes experience after experience where the person that goes with the animal says, that's so right on, like you just said, Rinoli, of you were so spot on at the beginning of the consultation. So it takes hearing that over and over for the person to believe in themselves and to trust that they're actually hearing things. So we do need validation, and then it can flow from there.
And how does somebody enter into your apprenticeship program? How do they train with you?
In order to be eligible for my apprenticeship program, they have to have taken my three levels of classes. And my classes are for anyone and everyone. I have lots of people that take the classes just for the fun of learning what the heck this is and getting closer to their own animals. My classes are not set up to make you become an animal communicator. My classes are to help people listen to animals more, help them really get into their hearts, help them understand their animals from the animal perspective. So my three levels of classes, as I consider it, is to open up the human being to all possibilities. And then when somebody is more motivated to take it more seriously, go forward, they are eligible to apply. As a matter of fact, I have an apprenticeship program starting this month in October, and people have to fill out an application. Then I interview them. They interview me. We see if we're a match, and then I pick four people to work with as a team, and it's an intensive one-year-long program. And I always have way more that apply that can get in, but I do my best to continue to offer it again and again. And it's a very fun, life-changing time for people to just go down. I call it going down the yellow brick road. Let's all just go down the yellow brick road together. We're skipping along. We're having fun. Throw all your logic out the window. Let's explore and be open to all possibilities.
Now, you started your professional animal communication practice in, what, 1995-ish?
Yes.
What was it like starting this type of business during that particular time of the world?
Well, that's a good question and a good point about that time of the world and what was going on. For myself, I didn't sit down and say, I know, I want to be an animal communicator. I want to take my talents forward. I actually went to college, had a college degree in health sciences. I was a health educator working in the nonprofit sector doing health and wellness programs for underserved communities and loved my career. And animals after animals kept talking to me, and I just thought it's something that I could kind of honor on the side. I was shy about it. I didn't tell people about it. When I was a teenager, I thought I was a weirdo, so I really made it go away, and I didn't do it at all for years. And it wasn't until people start saying, you know, friends actually would say, I know you can understand what my dog's feeling. The vet can't figure it out. Can you please give me info so I can go back to the vet? Why is he limping? So I kind of got coerced into helping some friends. Once I was really right on with the friends, they started telling people, strangers started calling me. I said, no, I don't do this for a profession. I just helped my friend. And as I call it, I got into this business kicking and screaming because I wasn't intending it at all. And I was very shy about outing myself. And I wasn't sure if I believed in it. I didn't have full confidence. And before I knew it, the universe was just letting me know, no, you're going to do this. The animals need you. I kept hearing the animals need you. You need to be a voice for the animals. And people wanted to pay me. And I said, no. And then more money got handed to me. So it took about 2 years where I finally got it. Oh, I'm really supposed to do this professionally. And then I studied with Penelope Smith, who's a world-renowned animal communicator, to just make sure I was doing what I thought I was doing and it was valid and I could do this professionally. And I've never advertised once. My business is completely built on word of mouth, people working with me, telling other people about me. And now I have clients all over the country and in other countries.
That's a beautiful story of the universe putting you exactly where you need to be, doing exactly what you need to be doing, regardless of what your mind told you to do.
Mm-hmm. And regardless of what the culture is saying. And as you mentioned that, it's true that back then, people, I would go to a party or something, and a friend would say, well, what do you do for a living? And I didn't know if I could say, well, I talk to animals. And sometimes I would say it, and sometimes I wouldn't. But back then, people were like, uh-huh, and they weren't sure what they thought. Every so often, someone would say, that's really cool. But our culture, if I'm sure the listeners have noticed, there are all types of television shows on now about telepathy and ghosts and energies and spirituality. I mean, we are a changing culture. So back then, it wasn't as accepted, but I wasn't trying to push it. I wasn't going door to door and saying, hey, I'm an animal communicator, don't you want to hire me? I was just letting it unfold, so that was easy for me. And then there was a woman that was on the Animal Planet, Sonia Fitzpatrick. Sonia Fitzpatrick, I think. She had a show talking to the animals, and it was only on for a season or two, but then it shifted, because then people would call and say, are you like the pet whisperer on TV? And I'd say, yes, I am. Or the animal psychic, I think is what they called her show.
That's
when the culture started really shifting as far as accepting animals. But I got to tell you, people that love their animals really will do just about anything to help them have high quality of life. And so that is what's helped my business blossom, is the people that love their animals and will go forward no matter what.
Terry, I know that you talk to most domestic animals, but have you ever run across an animal who just wouldn't talk to you?
Domesticated?
Otherwise?
Well, wildlife is different, and sometimes wildlife thinks, well, who the heck are you to expect me to stop what I'm doing and chat with you? Because I'm busy being a deer or an elk or hanging out, you know, being a buffalo in Yellowstone. I mean, I've definitely gone places where I want to connect with them, but I don't expect the wildlife to have a conversation with me. Can they? Yes. And will they? Sure, sometimes. But it's not like you can sit down with somebody's dog and say, tell me about your food, how are you doing? You know, so I understand the domesticated animals much deeper because they're in our world and they're used to our world and they trust our world, and then they have the human that goes with them that I connect with, their love, their intention. And in all the years that I've been doing this now, about 18 years, twice did I have a domesticated animal ask me to not talk to them. One was a kitty who was very angry because his person kept rescuing feral kittens outside, and he was fed up. There was feral kittens in each bathroom and one a litter in the basement. He was very, very, very angry. And when I walked in the door, I gave him my hand to sniff. He chomped it, didn't break the skin, and I heard him say, I'm not talking. And so I said, okay, and I honored that. But I was also there to talk to the dog, so I did my consult with the dog, and I informed them he's not talking, he's not interested in talking, and they said, yeah, he's very angry with us. So a little bit later into the consult, I was able to say to him, if you want to express your anger, he said, nope, I'm angry, they know how I feel, nope. And so he wouldn't budge. And then another time was also a kitty that was hiding very, very, very scared. It was a rescue kitty, and she was hiding in a kitchen cabinet, and she wouldn't come out, and all I could hear her say is, I don't know you, I don't trust you, I don't know you, I don't trust you. So she couldn't get past her fear, and the person had just rescued her about a month earlier. And that's the only two times I've ever had animals not flat out not talk to me.
I think that, and of course I'm saying this from, you know, a human perspective, but I would think that if I was a little somebody that somebody couldn't understand my language, and all of a sudden here comes somebody who can understand my language, I'd be pulling up the little chair, grabbing the little, you know, treat, going, let's chat.
You are right, and that's indeed true, and that does happen a lot. I have people say, I do most of my consults on the phone now. My first 5 years I only did in-home visits, and it wasn't until clients said, you know, don't you want to help my brother? He's in Iowa, or my cousin needs you, and she's, you know, in California. And I'd say, oh, I don't know if I can do it over the phone. I know a lot of animal communicators do, but again, I was my own skeptic. I got in my way, and I decided to start helping people and just not charge them. And then people said that was excellent. I got everything I needed. I'm sending you money. So again, I let that phase unfold. But it's real fun now because I've been doing it by phone primarily, only by phone. And people will say, oh, my gosh, my animals just all came in the room and gathered around as if they knew what we were doing. And I said, of course they knew what we're doing. I let them know. And they do. They like the focus. They're ready to talk. They're happy to talk. Just today I did a consultation with an elder dog, and the woman, she has two elder dogs and a younger dog. Her elder dog we were focusing on, who's in a lot of pain and all of that, and we were talking, and she said towards the end of the consult, we've got to make time for the other dog because he never does this when I'm on the phone. He's pawing at me and pawing at me and pawing at me. And so I said, what's up, buddy? What do you need to say? And he said, I'm really proud of myself because I'm being very good with the new dog that we rescued. I usually don't like younger dogs, but I'm very proud of myself. And he really wanted to express his pride, and he wanted her to acknowledge it. And she said, indeed he is. He usually bites other dogs. We've rescued a 5-year-old. She's been in his face over and over wanting to play. He's 14, and he was just tooting his horn. He needed to say he was proud of himself. So they will literally tap on their human or knock on me, as I call it, when they're trying to speak up and have their voices be heard.
That's a sweet story. I mean, I have the vision of the puppy going, hey! I do.
Want to play? No, no, and no.
Don't they get extra treats for being so great? Come on! Are there particular situations or issues that people tend to hire you or another animal communicator over? Are there, like, commonalities that push us towards finding somebody who can translate?
Over the years, it's actually really changed. Originally, it was just many people hired me for the fun of it. They heard about it, and they're like, oh, I want to know anything my animal wants me to know. And I call my clients, new clients, people that call me, they're much more animal communicator savvy now. They will call with very specific questions. And a main area, at least for my business, I've become known by many veterinarians. I've never met most of the veterinarians that refer to me, but they'll have one client come in their door with a dog and say, I work with an animal communicator. He says he's nauseous. He says it happens 2 hours after he eats. Whatever content of information I give them, they can take to the vet. It helps the vet diagnose and treat. So then that vet, next time he's struggling with something, will say to somebody, I don't know if you're open to this, but there's some woman, and her name is Terry O'Hara, and she talks to animals. It helped another client if you're open to this. So I get a lot of those referrals now. So I do get a lot of people calling for help, not diagnosing. I don't diagnose, but how do we ask them, what are they going through? What are they feeling? How are they doing? And so with that, a lot of my clients are older animals, and that, I believe that's how I got contacted by Jennifer Keshnick, who put this book together, because she said she was referred to me by four or five different people, kept mentioning my name and how much I helped them with their senior dogs. So that is a large population of people wanting to make sure we still got quality of life going with our elders, elder horses, elder cats, elder dogs. And I'm happy to have been included in this because it's really nice to be able to be a voice for the older dogs.
Well, and it's really nice that we as puppy owners, and mind you, I use puppy regardless if they're like 2 weeks old or 20 years old, because why not reinforce the fact that they're puppies? I think that if I have an older puppy who's sick and I can't figure out and the vet can't figure it out, it's wonderful to have that input that says somebody can interpret and give us a direction.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it's about, cooperative communication.
That's beautiful. We're going to take our first break. While we're listening to our sponsors, if you want to check out Terry's bio, her puppies, her kitties, her rabbits, her classes, her apprenticeship program, visit www.animalwise.com, and that's animal, W-I-Z-E. We'll be right back right after these sponsors.
Homes have energy, and now you can discover how to add, change, or eliminate the different energies inside and around any home with Faith Rinaldi's breakthrough book, The Mystical Guide to Home Inspection, giving you the practical and spiritual aspects of home inspection, energy, maintenance, and safety tips. The Mystical Guide to Home Inspection teaches you how to create a home sanctuary or an energy grid to support your heart's desires, and so much more. Everyone can benefit from The Mystical Guide to Home Inspection. Order your copy today at heartandhomehealing.com or call 303-797-0884. That's 303-797-0884. Or online, heartandhomehealing.com.
Faith Rinaldi is a sought-after lecturer in the real estate and metaphysical worlds. Her lectures cover a myriad of topics, all designed to help you, your family, your pets, and your home be positively charged and self-empowered, with such topics as the care and feeding of a spiritual journey, how to hold on to your pants when life hits the fan, and harnessing the energy of real estate. And these are just some of her topics. To attend a lecture or arrange for one, call Faith at 303-797-0884 or visit her website at heartandhomehealing.com.
Being Italian, when I get sad, I reach for a cannoli. When I need help with my home, I call Faith Rinaldi. She can help bring you your perfect home, attract buyers, help you energetically stage your home, remove negative energies, balance electromagnetic pollution, and even uncover the emotional block that may be preventing you from buying or selling your home. Faith Rinaldi does practical and spiritual real estate consulting. So when you want solutions for your home, don't reach for the cannoli. Call Faith Rinaldi at 303-797-0884. And you don't even have to be Italian.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's Rinaldi. It's the Heart and Home Show. My guest today is animal communicator Terry O'Hara. Visit her website, animalwise.com, for a lot more information. Terry, you sent me a wonderful book. It's called Your Dog's Golden Years. And it's a manual for senior dog care. It includes natural remedies and complementary options. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal collection of wisdoms by some wonderful professionals. How was this experience for you as being one of the contributing authors? What was it like for you to sit down and write your chapter, How Senior Dogs Think and Communicate, with Terry O'Hara?
Well, I was very excited, first of all, to be included, and I was excited for the fact that I believe people do struggle with, what does my dog want? Is my dog ready to go? Oh my gosh, he's limping. And I have learned over the years that in our culture, we're not taught to be okay with aging. And so, therefore, it's very hard with people who love their elder dogs to watch them age. And then we have this thing called euthanasia, which I believe is a blessing, and it's also a burden. And so as soon as somebody starts to change and shift, or they don't get up and walk as well, people start in their heads thinking, should I put them down? Do I need to put them down? Is it time to put them down? And it's because we have this option called euthanasia. But no, we don't need to put aging animals down. We need to put animals to sleep and to rest and to peace and to go off to bliss when they are complete and when they have shown signs of they're wrapping up and they're done and they don't need to do much of anything more. So I love being an advocate for the senior animals because I don't like to see them put down too quickly simply because they're changing or they're aging or their abilities are getting more difficult. That doesn't mean we want them, you know, to be going off the planet. So I tell people with humans, if somebody can't walk as well uphill or they're struggling with a cane, that doesn't mean they're ready to die. That just means, okay, life is a little harder. I got to figure out how to walk differently. I have to figure out how to pace myself. So we have the option of doing that with the animals as well and really honoring their process of aging so they can prepare spiritually and physically for their transition. So I was very excited to be included. And actually writing the chapter, when she gave me the limit of how many words, I thought, oh, yikes, I could say so much more. And I worked and worked and worked and worked editing it down and editing it down. And I know that's the sign of a good writer, and I don't consider myself a professional writer, though I am a writer. So that's an art for me to perfect upon. And I stuck to her rule of the number of words, and I probably edited 20 times. And when she got it, she ran it by three of her editors, and she wrote me back and said, this was great. You could have said more.
Like, I know, right?
I said, but you wanted it under, I can't remember what the word limit was, but you wanted it this certain number of words. And she said, yeah, but it's so great. Now the editors, they want more on this topic. And can you say more here? And can you say, so they, it was kind of comical because they brought back questions. And I thought, oh, I had that well addressed in, you know, 8 edits ago. So I was able to actually enhance it and bring more content in. And that made me happy too.
Because you do a wonderful job of talking about an animal communicator and what an animal communicator is. You give us some tips on where to find an animal communicator. Maybe we could talk about that for just a minute. I mean, certainly people now know how to contact you, but what about somebody else when they forget your name? How do they find somebody?
Well, this is important because it's just like finding a good dentist or a good chiropractor. I've just relocated to Eugene, Oregon, and I'm asking people here, friends and family, who do you go to? Who do you like? Why do you like them? Because I don't want to just pick up the book, phone book and pick somebody to work on my teeth or, you know, be my chiropractor or my acupuncturist. So it's the same way. People should ask around. Probably 90% of the time, people hear about an animal communication experience that went really well that a friend did or a neighbor did or the, you know, veterinarian mentions, et cetera. So word of mouth referral, in my opinion, is the best. If it sounds right and it feels right and it feels accurate, and then call the person and make sure it feels like a match, because not everybody's a good match. And if you have trouble, you know, with somebody for any reason whatsoever, then you can move on to other options. A good resource is Penelope Smith has put together a list at animaltalk.net. It is simply a list that she put together. It is not her personally recommending everybody, but in order for us to be on that list, we have to submit 5 testimonials from clients So it's not just anybody and everybody. And sure, I suppose somebody could make up the testimonials and lie, but she does it with good integrity, and I believe that energy brings the right people to her list. And it's a worldwide reference list. So that's a good place, especially if somebody wants to go to someone in person or wants somebody closer to home. And also for my business, you know, having done this for a really long time, and it's hard to get in onto my schedule. So sometimes people need something fast. If they need something within a few days, I will refer them on to a couple of animal communicators that I have trained, that I trust, that they've been up and running for a while, because I can't reach everybody. I can't serve everybody. You can only do so many consults in a day. And so sometimes you have to look on forward to other animal communicators, even if you've heard of a good one, if your situation is urgent. But if it's not, I really encourage people. Sometimes they say, oh, it's really urgent. We're going on vacation next week, and I need to tell all my animals we'll be gone for a week. Well, that's not urgent in our perspective. Urgent is when someone's sick and dying. That's urgent. So we have to be careful with what we prioritize as urgent in order to really be there for the people and the animals that are hurting and suffering and needing help right away.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful wisdom and guidance there. We're not going to be able to talk about this, everything I want to talk about regarding your chapter before we wind up having to go to break, but I was sharing with you before we logged into the show here that we have somebody close by whose puppy was passing, and after reading this book, reading specifically the things that you shared in what you had to say about seeing new dogs, I was able to share with this 12-year-old things that really helped her with the passing of her first dog, things that helped her understand that just because we think of pain or we think of death a certain way, animals don't see it that way. They're focused on what's really working in their life. They're humans. They're happy. They don't focus on the things that we as humans would focus on when we're at the end of life because they don't really think of it that way. Am I correct?
That's absolutely correct. And an example I use to get that across with people is I will say, I remember the first time I asked an animal how he was doing after his major knee reconstruction surgery. And so I tuned into him, and the people were worried, and how's he doing, and how much pain is he in? And I said, so tell me about your knee. How's it doing? And he said, which one? It was as simple as that. Which one are we talking about? Because they don't keep their focus on their area of pain like humans do. They don't talk about it all week long to everybody they know about how much their elbow hurts or their stomach is nauseous. They accept it, they be with it, and they can transcend their awareness outside of suffering in order to go on. And it doesn't mean denial, and I do explain that in my chapter. It's different than denial, because sometimes people say, my dog's in denial that, you know, his hips are going out. It's like, no, your dog is very wise, and he's not spending a lot of time worrying about his hips. He's doing the best he can, and he's going forward, and he takes breaks when he needs to, but he's not dwelling upon the fact that they're weakening. And so that's a very artful skill, in my opinion, that I hope to be half as good at it as animals as I age, and half as good at dying as the animals as my turn comes, because they're magnificent teachers, and they're very capable, and I believe we are, too. We're just not taught that.
Well, Terry, we're going to have to take another break. Folks, please stay with us. We have a lot more to discuss with Terry. We'll be right back right after these announcements.
Faith Rinoli is a sought-after lecturer in the real estate and metaphysical worlds. Her lectures cover a myriad of topics, all designed to help you, your family, your pets, and your home be positively charged and self-empowered, with such topics as the care and feeding of a spiritual journey, how to hold on to your pants when life hits the fan, and harnessing the energy of real estate. And these are just some of her topics. To attend a lecture or arrange for one, call Faith at 303-797-0884 or visit her website at heartandhomehealing.com.
You can discover your mission and purpose for this lifetime with a heart and soul healing session. Faith Rinoli will help you unblock your prosperity and creativity as you release your past energetic traumas and programs to reclaim your power. If you have low energy, fears without cause, relationship issues, health challenges, or any karmic patterns that you want to overcome, you owe it to yourself to call Faith Rinoli for a heart and soul healing session at 303-797-0884 or visit her website, heartandhomehealing.com.
Sometimes the health of your home impacts your health and your pet's health. Animals love us so much that they mirror what is going on with us on all levels. They can take on our pain, our sadness, and our illness. yet they may be incapable of clearing the energy from their electromagnetic field. Now you can learn how to clear their energy fields and yours. Faith Rinoli will teach you how, by phone or in person. Call 303-797-0884 or visit her website, heartandhomehealing.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Psychic ability. We all have it. It's time to understand. And now you can. With Many Faces of Psychic Ability, this entertaining and informative DVD gives you history, facts, and explains the 17 distinct and separate psychic abilities with personal stories by world-renowned and respected psychic Linda McKenzie. Order it today. Call 800-555-5453 or visit lindamckenzie.net. Call now, 800-555-5453.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Our guest is Terry O'Hara, professional animal communicator. Her website, AnimalWise.com. WIZE.com. Lots of wonderful information on that site. Terry, your dog's golden years. Why is it important to have a book just for the subject of seeing your aging dogs?
Well, the hard truth of that answer is because all of our dogs are going to get old. None of us like to face it. None of us like to think about them leaving. However, they are all going to get older, and they do leave most of the time before us because their lives are shorter. So I would like to encourage people to pick this book up even before maybe your dog is a senior. Read it. Be aware of things. It's a reference book. It's not, you know, it's not going to rip your heart out. It's not a story. It's not sad. It will bring up emotions for you because you're facing the fact that your animal will age or is aging or is preparing to transition or has transitioned. But the idea of us all facing the fact that they're going to be seniors, we can embrace the powerful component of, and so therefore, how can I make it be the best possible senior years? And this book is, that's exactly what it's about. Jennifer pulled together excellent people from all over the country that offer their expertise so your dogs can have the best quality of life as they age and as they are seniors. And I don't want people avoiding it because it might be sad or because they don't want to think about it until the time comes, because the animals can feel us when we do that. And if we're busy thinking, oh, I don't want to think that you're 12 already, I don't want to think about it, it makes me sad, I don't want you to die, they feel that and they hear that, and they don't know what to do with that. So we're better off being honest and saying to them, I'm really sad that you're getting older, and I want to do the best I can, but boy, I'm going to miss you when I go. Be honest with how you're feeling. Be very truthful with them, because they're already reading your heart, and they're already reading your thoughts. So be truthful with where you're at. Tell them and make it a team effort. And this book empowers, it's like it's full of tools. It's a toolkit, so to speak, to empower the human so they don't feel so helpless, so scared, so worried as they go into the elder years of the dogs.
Well, and that's the truth. I was reading this book, and I cried and I laughed and I giggled and I sticky-noted the bejesus out of the book. And even though my dogs aren't old yet, I don't think. I mean, Spike is going to be, well, she is 9. So maybe she's starting to become a little senior, but she doesn't look like she's slowing down any, so it's hard for me to think of her anything other than a puppy. But it empowers me because I know when she does start to slow down, when she does start to age, or when Jack does, it's like I have better tools to understand and what to do. And I didn't have that before, and it was worth a few tears.
Perfect. That excites me to hear that, and I think Jennifer will be thrilled to hear that, and every author in this book will be thrilled to hear that, because that's the goal.
That is the goal. But that might have been the goal, and a lot of times, though, you pick up a reference book, and they miss somehow the key part that this book so beautifully captures, and that is it is a resource. It is there to empower you, educate you in a really compassionate way, and that was something that I was really struck with, is how compassionate everybody was in their chapters.
Yeah, you really can feel, because I don't know most of these people. I think I know about three or four of them. But you can really feel their love for the animals. You can feel their care, their concern. You can feel their intention is to empower people so they can have the best, most smooth journey, because we've all been there. Anybody that's loved a dog has lost a dog. And so we've all been there, and we all know perhaps how it felt way back when we didn't have the right answers or the tools, or we didn't know how to do it right, or the vet said, let's just put him down because he's limping, and we regret that we did it too soon. We all have some histories. We all have past, and then we have the fears and concerns of losing the ones that are 5 and 6 and 8 and 10, and they're running around just fine. So the animals say, be in the moment. Let's focus on what's going on. If Spike is running around and being herself, no need to focus on her being a senior. You know, sometimes the vets will say it's time for their senior checkup. And I heard a vet advertisement the other day, and it said, if your dog is 7 years old, they're a senior. And I almost gasped, but then I thought, I don't buy that. If someone were to say to me, you're 42, so you're a senior, I mean, I don't necessarily do the math of seven times whatever, but if you're 42 or you're 45 and your body's starting to change, so be it. That's what's going on. But if someone came up and said, we better focus on a senior exam for you, I think you'd be pretty offended, and you'd say, you've got the wrong person. Animals are not necessarily seniors at seven, and yes, the bigger dogs get older faster and have a shorter life, but I say, be with each one as an individual. Ask them how they're doing. Check in with them periodically, whether it's every 6 months. Some people call me once a year. Some people call me once a month. They do. It depends on how many questions they have. They do whatever they need to based on what's going on. Your dog will show you when they're aging, and that's when you can start preparing for, all right, let's get on track, and let's make this comfortable, and let's keep this going smoothly and positively until you can't do it any longer, and then I have the blessing of the ability to be able to help you go gently and peacefully with the vet's help.
Throughout our conversation, you've talked about senior dogs and how they become a part of your practice. As you help people prepare for this change in life, as you help communicate for the senior dogs, once again, are there commonalities? Are there recurring themes that you find yourself sharing between the puppies and the vets or the humans?
You know, there really are, and that's a wonderful thing for me to ponder as you ask that question, because one of my favorite things is to watch the human shift over time, whether it's over a week or several months, whatever they're dealing with. They shift from a place of fear to a place of pure love and allowance. And they compliment me. They thank me very much because I'm not only intuiting, but I'm also counseling. There is some counseling. That's why I don't call myself a pet psychic. I don't do a reading where I sit down and just tell you everything your animal is feeling. It's a conversation. It's a three-way conversation with the dog, the human, and then sometimes I offer information or references or referrals to vets or referrals to other healthcare providers. So it's very conversational, and I get to watch the human go from a very shaky, scared, I'm not sure I'm going to know how to do this very well place to, I get it, and I'm okay, and it's going to be sad. And so often I hear and receive lovely cards and lovely emails from people saying, I never could have done it without you. But truly, I say to them, no, it's your dog that helped you do it, not me. I mean, I've had the luxury of being there to assist and be an interpreter, so to speak, and help you some and support you some, sure. But basically, you just had a learning experience with your animal showing you. I believe they're here to show us how to age and how to die gracefully and how to not fear death. And so my favorite thing about the humans is watching them blossom and get to a peaceful place. And sure enough, they know when their animal is ready, but they know it in their hearts and not their heads. And they let go of that burden of the decision, and they wait for it to fall into place where they say, I just knew. I woke up one morning, I looked in my dog's eyes, and he looked at me, and we smiled, and I just knew it was okay. Today was the day, or it's time to call the vet, and we'll do it this weekend. And they say it from a place of peace, centeredness, and knowingness. And that is a joy for me.
Boy, that's, and we're almost at time here, but that's the hardest question, is to know when the right time is, because you don't want to, for your selfish reasons, keep the pet alive, but at the same time, you don't want them to be in pain, and you don't want to do it prematurely. I mean, that's a tough one.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, Rinaldi, that If somebody were to call me and they say, I want to know if my dog is ready to die, I will not ask an animal that question. There are some animal communicators that do, or I hear people say, well, I used an animal communicator last year, and she said he's ready to go. I would never, ever, ever use those words, and I don't have the right to speak for an animal as to when they want to leave their body. I believe it's their journey, not for me. So I would caution people, don't think you're going to use the animal communicator to call her someday, because they tried. Many of my clients have tried and said, well, if I think it's time, can I call you to be sure? And I say, no, you must follow your own heart at that point. You know your animal better than anybody on the planet. You follow your heart and it'll all be okay.
Yep. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back, and Terry will be sharing more wisdom with us. So please stay with us.
Healing one home at a time. Faith Rinoli's Heart and Home Healing Radio Show blends science and sacred thought to help you create an environment of harmony and power. Every week you'll get helpful information on ley lines, how to transform energy, home care, maintenance tips, and more. You'll hear from guests who blend science with sacred thought in their homes, classrooms, and businesses. Your home is the foundation for all that you do in life. Let the Heart and Home Healing Radio Show teach you how to harness your home's true potential. Every Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time.
Being Italian, when I get sad, I reach for a cannoli. When I need help with my home, I call Faith Rinoli. She can help bring you your perfect home, attract buyers, help you energetically stage your home, remove negative energies, balance electromagnetic pollution, and even uncover the emotional block that may be preventing you from buying or selling your home. Faith Rinoli does practical and spiritual real estate consulting. So when you want solutions for your home, don't reach for the cannoli. Call Faith Rinoli at 303-797-0884. And you don't even have to be Italian.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life. But it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Homes have energy. And now you can discover how to add, change, or eliminate the different energies inside and around any home with Faith Rinoli's breakthrough book, The Mystical Guide to Home Inspection, giving you the practical and spiritual aspects of home inspection, energy, maintenance, and safety tips. The Mystical Guide to Home Inspection teaches you how to create a home sanctuary or an energy grid to support your heart's desires and so much more. Everyone can benefit from The Mystical Guide to Home Inspection. Order your copy today at heartandhomehealing.com or call 303-797-0884. That's 303-797-0884. Or online, heartandhomehealing.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back. We're speaking with professional animal communicator Terry O'Hara, and we're speaking about many things, but we're recently speaking about your dog's golden years, a manual for senior dog care. It is a wonderful, wonderful resource book for anybody who owns any kind of pet, because even though it addresses dogs, there's good wisdom in here for everybody who loves a furry friend. Terry, we talked a little bit about where to find an animal communicator and all that. But how does somebody know when to call an animal communicator?
You know, it's very important to turn to an animal communicator when you feel you're not clear on anything. If you're not clear on why has their appetite changed, if you've noticed their behavior has shifted, if they're not as joyful or they're not playing as much, anytime you're wondering about something and you think, gosh, I wish I'd just understood this better, that's a great time to call and work with an animal communicator. I have clients that have called me. I just had one yesterday. I haven't worked with her in 4 years. She said, well, you helped me so much with the one consult, and everything's gone great since then. I didn't need you, and this is wonderful, because I said, how great. You haven't called in 4 years, and thank you for finding me again and calling. And so you might just need one consultation at first, and I realize budget is an issue for people, and you can shop around for who charges what. And also, I just wanted to make sure that people realize if you turn to a book like this book, it helps you. And again, if you need more clarity on something and you're wondering, well, okay, this sounds great about chiropractic, but I don't know if my dog will sit still for chiropractic, then you could call the animal communicator and say, could you explain to my dog this is what I'm contemplating? Does he think he can receive it? Will he be able to stay still? What does he need to feel safe? So we can also help them prepare for situations, whether it's surgeries or people going on vacation, which is, you know, not an emergency, of course. But anytime you're about to do something different with the animal and you want to help them understand it and get their input, that's a wonderful time to connect with an animal communicator.
You know, we've worked with you for a number of years now, 9 years, and you've taught us a lot, because not only have you given us the messages from Jack and Spike, but you've given us really good advice on how to take really good care of them. But one of the things that you really taught me to do is you made it okay for me to talk to her, to mm-hmm. Spike. So when things are happening and they affect me or they affect her, I talk to her like she's a person. Mm-hmm. And I can tell just by the look in her, maybe it's the energetic of it, I don't know, but she's getting the message. Mm-hmm. And I'm not giving her pictures because I don't know how to do that, but I think it's the intent she picks
mm-hmm.
up on.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right, and that's really great for people to hear, because if you are focused and feeling feelings about something and you're talking about it, if I were to talk about a waterfall on a hike I went on this weekend, I wouldn't have to say, wait a second, stop, I have to visualize it so I can tell you about it. I would simply tell you about the waterfall, but my mind is picturing it because I'm remembering it. So if you were talking to Spike about, I'm going to go on vacation for a week and I'm going to miss you, but you know, Mary the pet sitter's coming and she's going to be staying and you know she takes you on walks, you're actually picturing all of that. You're picturing yourself going on the vacation without even trying. So I always tell people, say all the words you want. Don't worry if they know the words or not. They are getting your pictures that you may or may not even realize you're doing. They are getting your heartfelt emotions around it, like I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to miss you, but I need this vacation, I'm going to have a good time, and I can't wait to come back and tell you about it. So they'll feel all the emotions that go with it, and indeed intention. They understand intention very well.
They do, and it's surprising because when we travel, we tell her who's coming to stay, how many sleeps, how many nights we're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting, the feedback from the puppy sitter is, you know, Spike was really calm until, like, the day you were coming home, and then she was looking for you, and it was very obvious she was looking for you because
mm-hmm.
she knew, and I find that so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And they don't disconnect with us just because we get on a plane or get in a car and drive away. Telepathy or intuition, intuitive work happens no matter where you are in space and time. So she can be on vacation with you and feeling you, and she can know, oh, they're packing their suitcase, I feel them coming home, I get it, I'm excited. So it can not only be the information you gave her at the beginning, but also what you're doing, because they still can feel us, and you can send them love from your vacation, and they'll feel that too, instead of sending them worry.
Absolutely. I get that because you've trained me to check in with her while I'm away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like all those little tips that you've given us, we've actually worked them in, and it makes such a difference. She's calm. Jack is calm. I mean, they have such a better quality of life because they are able to have a voice through you.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's nice to hear and good validation. And I really encourage everybody to have a nice working relationship with an animal communicator that they trust so they can have the same type of outcome with their many years of love and cherished relationship with their animals.
Absolutely. Terry, we have a couple of minutes. What about some of the basic things? We have a dog now that is getting a little older. How do we feed them differently? What kind of vitamins do they need? What's the best chewy for a senior dog? And I know that's a lot to cover, but
in a couple of minutes.
Come on.
Okay. That's a good trick. Okay. How about if we tell them how to get the book?
Oh, all right. We're going to do that anyway, but go ahead.
Okay, because truly there are good things, good answers to all those questions in the book. I do want to just say, for the sake of anybody that's hopping on the Internet right now and looking at my website, this book is so recently out, I don't even have, my web guy hasn't even gotten it onto my website yet, but if anybody would like to order it directly from me, they may call me at 541-484-2020, or on my website I also have an 800 number, or you can email and let us know. We are in the process of getting the book onto the website, so you can just direct order, but we're happy to, you know, take a manual order over the phone. And also it's available on Amazon or several bookstores, so I just wanted to put that out there in case people are looking at my website and don't see it. It will be up there soon. And so, Rinaldi, you know what it's all about in answering all those questions really quickly? It's all about being in the moment, having fun with your dog, and letting them show you the way.
Yeah, I kind of figured you were going to give me an answer like that, but a girl's got to try, you know? I mean, Spike is very happy to eat, period. So I don't worry about Spike. And Jack, he eats, you know? And we cook for them, so I don't worry about some of the other things. But I know that some of my friends have asked me, mm-hmm. What do I do with my dog? I don't know what to feed them for chewies. I don't know what to feed them for food. I don't want to do a commercial food, but yet they're big, and I can't just cook a bunch of chicken for them because I'll be just cooking all the time.
Well, I highly recommend working with a holistic veterinarian and a traditional veterinarian, because myself, I have a regular doctor, a medical doctor, and I also have an acupuncturist and a chiropractor and an energy worker and a body worker. So we do different things for different modalities to take good care of ourselves and keep ourselves whole over the years. And so much of what you're talking about, really good guidance should come from a good holistic veterinarian, because they will cater the diet to that particular dog's needs and health issues and body style and all of that. And a good way to find a holistic vet is to go to the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, and that's AHVMA.org. And you can type in your zip code, and you can find out about veterinarians in your area. You can look at the modalities. Do they do chiropractic? Do they do acupuncture only? Do they do herbs? So you can look for somebody. And I think a good working relationship with a holistic vet is essential for quality care. The traditional vets, bless their hearts, they're good at many, many things. But I have a good friend who's a traditional vet, and she said, you know, I got two hours training in all of my veterinary years on nutrition. 2 hours is all they spent in
That's
the entire
all?
Training. So she had to go off and learn it on her own. So we have to realize we can't expect our traditional vets to answer some of those kind of questions because they're not trained in it. And unfortunately, many of them have been convinced by the pet food industry to now prescribe all these prescription foods, hairball formula food, and, you know, food for diets, and food for this, and food for that. Well, that's coming from the pet food industry, not from the nutrition experts in the veterinary care industry. So very good to work with a holistic vet.
Terry, you're amazing. Unfortunately, we're out of time. One more time, how do people find you?
They can contact me at www.animalwise, and I spell it animal, W-I-Z-E. We did it that way because I'm just a little different, so it's spelled with a Z. And my phone number again is 541-484-2020. I'd love to hear any questions, any comments, any feedback on the book, anything I can help with. Please be in touch.
Terry, thank you, and I so appreciate you doing what you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rinaldi. Blessings to all.
If you have any questions for Terry, please visit her website, animalwise.com. She would love to answer your questions and connect with you. If you have any questions for me, visit me at my website, heartandhomehealing.com. I hope that you're all living in the home of your dreams. Please be conscious there, create with intent, and thrive. Go out and make a difference in the world, but most importantly, come home and make a difference in your own life by creating a home that is a sanctuary and that supports you in everything that you do. I want to thank you all for listening. I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Rinaldi and the Heart and Home Show, and I will see you next week right here on HealthyLife.net. Have a great week now. Bye-bye.